In our pursuit of self-love, why do we so often turn to practices that may actually harm us? If you're like me, then you've struggled at times with parts of your body that don't meet the impossible beauty standards set by social media, advertising, and Hollywood. What's astonishing to me is the silent hypocrisy within many communities that champion consciousness and natural living. Despite their commitment to spiritual growth, too many still embrace cosmetic surgery and other beauty enhancements without a second thought, often ignoring the potential physical and energetic tolls these choices might carry. Joining us today is Rain Dunn, who transformed her own health crisis stemming from breast implants into a beacon for change. After a harrowing journey with breast implant illness, Rain has become an advocate for natural beauty and wellness, urging us to reflect deeply on what it truly means to honor our bodies and embrace our innate beauty. This episode is for everyone impacted by the invasive influence of impossible beauty standards, women and men alike, as we all play a role in either perpetuating or challenging these norms. Listen on today, and Rain will uncover the often unseen emotional and physical repercussions that come with cosmetic enhancements, revealing the stories that go beyond the surface. She'll deep dive into the essential facts and lesser-known impacts of breast implant illness and why understanding this could literally save lives. She'll also explore how our spiritual well-being is deeply connected to our physical health and how ignoring this connection can lead to profound consequences. She'll share how tuning into your body's signals can be the most powerful tool for health and well-being, and why so many of us have lost this crucial connection. Listen on as we uncover the hidden pains of beauty, confront the potential costs of so-called beautifying surgeries, some of those repercussions being breast implant illness, and also learn how to embrace a life of genuine self-love without needing to compromise. This is a call to all of us to look deeper beyond the surface and find true wellness and intrinsic beauty. And while we're chatting about transformations and embracing our true selves, may I introduce you to something that could change the way you start your day? It's my 5-day morning practice challenge, designed to energize your mornings and replace that snooze button habit with a nourishing start. Imagine beginning your day feeling refreshed and aligned, ready to live authentically and embody your natural beauty. This challenge is a perfect complement to our journey today with Rain, focusing on self-care that begins the moment you wake up. Join now by signing up at alreadyfree.me/yes or check the show notes, and let's make every morning a step towards personal empowerment. I'll see you there. And now please enjoy this embodying, empowering episode with the lovely Rain Dunn. You take such good care of yourself. You into Pilates, you eat well, you move well, you're spiritually active, and yet for whatever reason, you chose at some point in your life to have breast implants, as so many women are choosing to do now, more and more and more. What was the motivator for you as a woman in our society to think that was a great idea?
This is a question I've asked myself so many times. Like, what was I thinking? Because I never saw myself as somebody that would go ahead and do that. I was never into plastic surgery. I didn't think that it was a good idea or that it was cool. When I was younger, I used to sort of like roll my eyes at women that got breast implants. I did have big breasts my whole life from a young age. So maybe that made it easy for me to roll my eyes at them because I was naturally well endowed. And then I had my son. I breastfed for just over a year. My boobs became huge while I was pregnant. Like they were really big. They just got even bigger. And then when I started breastfeeding, they went even bigger. And then I breastfed for just over a year. And when I stopped breastfeeding, they just like deflated into nothing. And I will say that now in hindsight, knowing what I know now, after I had my son, I thought that it was a good idea to become vegan and go raw. And I became really skinny. Obviously, also from breastfeeding, you do it uses up a lot of calories. So I did become really, really slender. So, you know, I think that maybe if I had been eating as I do now, maybe my breasts wouldn't have become as small. I think really I was underweight at the time. So anyway, they just sort of like, I always say they were like two sad balloons after the birthday party. They just went. And I think that at that stage in my life, I was 29, 30, And I was still like very wrapped up in my appearance as part of who I saw myself as. I hadn't yet gone through my spiritual journey. That was like sort of the very beginning of it. I was actually sort of in the mists of my existential crisis that then led to the start of my spiritual journey. So I think that the decision to do that was actually part of the beginning of that, of like starting to question who I was in the world. And like my whole life I'd had beautiful big boobs and all of a sudden I didn't. And I couldn't reconcile myself with it. So I made this stupid decision, which I obviously later on regretted. But at the same time, I don't regret it because I think it's been part of my journey. I've learned a lot from it. And if having gone through that experience allows me the opportunity to speak publicly about it and warn other women, and even I always say, if I just prevent one woman from going through what I went through, it'll be worth it. So yeah, I made the decision to have surgery. Originally, I actually only wanted to have a lift. I didn't really so much have a problem with having small boobs. I think small boobs are beautiful. I think any size boobs are beautiful. Now, I think any size and any shape boob is beautiful. At the time, I struggled with how flaccid they looked, and I wanted to have a lift. The surgeon spoke me out of a lift. He said, I'm too young to do that. The scarring is going to be too bad. And the best way to lift them is to just put in an implant. And that it was literally something that I never thought that I would do. I never thought that I would be that woman that gets breast implants. But he sort of like convinced me that it was a good idea. And then I started thinking, well, wouldn't it be nice to have my old size boobs back? Like that would be nice. I would like that. Then I'll feel like myself again. So I went ahead and I had the surgery.
It's like an archetypal story of modern society is like, oh, there's something about your body that makes you feel uncomfortable. Look, we can just cut you up. Mm-hmm. We can just give you this medicine. We can make it better and you don't have to feel uncomfortable anymore. And it's interesting how it relates. And I know that the beauty standards are very different for men and women, and they are actually starting to, they're not equal, but men are becoming a lot more judged on sort of their tidiness of appearance more so than they used to be. So, but for myself, so I've grown up, my dad is like one of the hairiest people I've ever met, or if not the hairiest person I've ever met in my life. And so growing up, and he was very relaxed about it growing up, it was never a concern. And then I wasn't that hairy until sort of my early 20s, and suddenly I just went off, and like I'm super hairy now. And I've had to go through this process of it's like this, instead of what I could have done, which is buy all the clippers and the go for the waxes and the lasers and all the things to try and become like the ideal man, I've used it as a way to see where I'm uncomfortable with who I really am and to use it as a way to become more comfortable with that. And so it's such an interesting juxtaposition in our society. And I see how it spreads out into other realms around even sexuality or gender. Or like if you feel uncomfortable in your body, it's mm-hmm. because there's something wrong with your body. You're in the wrong body. If you just change the body, you'll feel better. And I'm not saying that isn't true at times. It seems like it's a bit quick. Like you were like, I just want to feel a bit better in my body. You know, maybe this lift will help. And next thing there you are getting breast implants. So I know what happened mm-hmm. there, you know, you had this experience, and I'm curious, did that experience make you feel better about yourself? Like, was there a sense of, oh, I'm beautiful again, or whatever the story is that you wanted to fulfill?
Before I answer that, I just quickly want to say that I remember when you shared a post about your hairiness, and I so appreciated that. And I will say that, you know, the decision for me to go ahead and get breast implants was facilitated by the fact that, like, I live in Sandton. And the sort of circles that I was moving around in at that time, it was so completely normal, as it still is. I just don't hang out in those circles anymore. But it's so completely normal. Nobody gives it a second thought. It's almost expected that after you have a baby, you will get breast augmentation. So even though I grew up in a different environment where plastic surgery wasn't normal and I never saw myself doing that, I think over time I just became so accustomed to it that it seemed like an okay decision. To answer your question, I did feel better after I had the surgery. I was happy that I had, quote unquote, my old boobs back. I felt like they looked like they did before They were what I was used to since the age of 14. So for a long time, I was happy with the decision. I didn't think that, I didn't regret it until I became sick.
So let's hear more about that. So this is an experience that I think for many people is completely new, the idea that you could get sick from implants. And I know there's a bigger conversation here that I do want to have at some point in some way, which is around even in the so-called spiritual or health conscious circles, things like Botox, breast implants, fillers are very common, especially for women, but also becoming more so for men in some ways. And there's a whole piece there around, is this actually good for us? So in your case, it wasn't. And so what started to happen and what did happen and how did you come to realize that it was actually the implants and not something else?
That was a pretty long journey. I was chronically ill off and on for 4 years before I realized that it was the implants that were a huge contributing factor. I will say there were other factors at play as well, and I'll explain how that works. So basically, my illness started with really debilitating chronic fatigue and brain fog. And that happened sort of out of the blue. My whole life, I've always been incredibly healthy, fit, strong. I'm not a sickly person. So it really took me by surprise. And I didn't know what was wrong. It was very scary because I went for blood tests and everything was fine. Nothing showed up on my bloods, which is, by the way, very common with breast implant illness. Nothing will show up on your bloods. If something does show up on your bloods, they're going to attribute it to something else. So after we did all the testing and, you know, nothing was coming back positive, my doctor, who is not a Western medicine doctor, he's a homeopath and he does Chinese medicine and acupuncture and all of that. He said to me that I have CPTSD. And he's a big joker. He makes a lot of jokes, like when we're together. So I literally thought he was joking. I burst out laughing. And then he was like, no, I'm serious. So that was a whole big journey for me to come to terms with that and accept it. I had been through a lot. I'd been through a traumatic divorce, which was on the back of an emotionally and psychologically abusive marriage. And I had lost my brother to suicide. I also had some trauma from my childhood. So there was a lot there. And when I got sick, it was actually exactly 2 weeks after I went to court in my divorce, which was extremely stressful for me. Mm. So then I worked with this concept that I have CPTSD and I'd gone into what's called dorsal vagal shutdown. Basically, your nervous system shuts down. So that's what caused that chronic fatigue. And it literally, my brain would switch off. Like I was pretty much narcoleptic. I became very sensitive to noise and light. So like sometimes if we went out in public, my brain would just switch off and I would start to fall asleep. Wesley would have to bring me home. And I was in that state for about 4 months. Incredibly scary, debilitating. I couldn't work properly. I didn't know how I was going to recover. I didn't know what was on the other end of this. And then a friend suggested that I join her on a San Pedro hike. And so I went with her because I was desperate. Mm. And that literally overnight switched my brain back on. It was an incredible experience. So I'm really grateful to plant medicines. And I think that used with respect and in the right context, they are very valuable. So that brought me out of that like fugue state that I was in for 4 months. And then I thought that I was better now. I thought that like, you know, the San Pedro had healed the trauma in my nervous system and now I'm all good. And obviously all along this time, I've been in a really deep spiritual journey for the last 7-8 years as well. So alongside of that, I was doing my spiritual practices. I was meditating. I was doing breath work. I was doing cold plunges. I was doing all the things to manage my nervous system and heal the trauma. I was going for therapy, all of that. So then I thought I was better and it was in the past and I still just worked on healing the trauma, regulating my nervous system. But I kept on saying to Wesley, I still feel like there's something not 100% right. Like it just feels like there's something in my body. And I am very attuned to my body because I'm a body worker. I teach Pilates and yoga. I have done for years. So I know my body well. I've been through a big journey with my body. So I felt like something was just not quite right, even though I felt okay. And then what happened was it was last year, 2024. Sorry, it was the year before that, 2022. About the beginning of the year, I started feeling sick again. And that fatigue started coming back and the brain fog started coming back. And then slowly but steadily, I started noticing other symptoms one by one. And I started getting more and more sick. And that was really scary because here I was like a few years on from quote unquote having healed myself and I was sick again and it was getting worse and worse and I suddenly felt really old. Like I didn't feel young and strong and healthy anymore and I started to wonder if this was just going to be the rest of my life, if I was always going to be chronically ill, always having to manage it. And at a certain point in time in that year, I suddenly, like out of the blue one day, because after I'd gotten the breast implants, I didn't really think about it. I never thought about it. It felt like part of my body. And one day, out of the blue, I just suddenly had this really weird sensation where I looked down and I was like, this is so fucking weird. There are plastic bags in my body. Like, why did I do that? What a weird thing to do to myself. And all of a sudden, I became really aware of them in my body. At the same time, the universe started leaving little breadcrumbs for me, and I started hearing about this thing, breast implant illness. And I started to think, I wonder if maybe they're contributing. You know, by that stage, I started thinking, maybe I have an autoimmune condition. And I thought, if I do have an autoimmune condition, maybe having implants is just like too much for my body to handle. It was a scary thought because then I thought, okay, but then if it is them, then I have to take them out. A, where am I going to find the money for that? And B, then what happens? How are my boobs going to look now after I take them out? Like, surely they're going to look terrible. So for a little while, I like didn't really want to think about it. And I didn't want to admit to myself the truth that I was already realizing, but I got more sick. And by that stage, I got desperate and I thought, I don't even care. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how my boobs are going to look. I just want to be well again. I just want my life back. And so the one night I was alone at home, my partner Wesley was overseas and my son was at his dad's house and I decided to research breast implant illness. And I fell down a rabbit hole online. I was online for probably about 4 hours, just reading stories of women that have been through this. Wow. And by the end of that, I knew without a doubt that I had to take them out. And what I did was I sat down and I made a list of my symptoms, which I hadn't done before. Like I knew that I didn't feel well. I knew that I had chronic fatigue. I knew that there were some other weird things. But when I actually sat down and I really thought about it and I wrote down every single symptom that I could think about, I was shocked. I had a list of over 30 different symptoms. At the age of 36, healthy, strong, young woman, all of a sudden 30 different symptoms, over 30. And then I took that list that I'd made and I compared it to the list of known symptoms of breast implant illness. And there were so many overlaps, like almost every single one. And later on, when like through reading more women's stories, I realized that all of the symptoms I have, some woman has experienced this somewhere in the world. And I made the decision that night that I would take them out, no matter what. I did not have the money for surgery. Obviously, medical aid doesn't pay for such a surgery. I didn't know where I was going to find the money. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that I had to do it. And my perspective was, even if this is not the final solution, even if taking them out doesn't make me well again, if there's even just the slightest chance that if I take them out, I can have my health back, I'm doing it. I'm very grateful that I didn't have to wait too long, because I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. But it was only about, I think this was round about in the July, and I had my surgery at the end of September. So it was just a few months. Because once I realized what was happening in my body, like, it just became even more obvious that the implants were making me sick.
Right.
And once you have that realization, it's really a no-brainer to take them out.
Just amazing to me that something so common and so-called normal can be so incredibly bad for people. And I wonder how many people who aren't displaying symptoms might also be unwell, or even not attribute their symptoms to that, or think, oh, this symptom is just a normal part of getting older, but it's actually because they've got these, as you said, plastic bags in themselves. So then take me through the continue. I just want to hear the rest of the story. I mean, it's astonishing.
Yeah. So the reason that I wanted to explain how I first got ill and that I got this diagnosis of having CPTSD, which is compound post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people know of PTSD, but they're maybe not familiar with CPTSD. PTSD is from one big shocking event, whereas CPTSD is from an accumulation of trauma or extreme stress over time. And the reason that I want to bring that in is just to help women understand how breast implant illness works in your body. What I came to realize in my own body from my own personal experience, without anybody else telling me this, I realized that what happened was I was young, fit, strong, healthy, and I put the implants in. And my body could cope with it because it was healthy and strong. So it was ticking over, it was detoxing itself, everything was fine. The moment that I got sick with CPTSD and my body went into dorsal vagal shutdown, which is a huge strain on your entire system, it could no longer cope with the implants. The catalyst was CPTSD, and that's what made me sick the first time. But then after that, even though I got better from that, that's why it just didn't feel quite right. Because my body was no longer able to cope with the implants. So over time, it just became this toxic overload in my body. And later on, now that I've been through this and I've started to speak to other women, and I actually did a podcast episode with the holistic beauty coach. Her name is Amanda Porter. And she's an advocate for breast implant illness. So she knows a lot about it. She's been working with it for many years. She's done a lot of research. And I told her my story and she said, yes, that's exactly how it happens. So a lot of women will say, but I have implants and I'm fine. Or 10 of my friends have implants and none of us are sick. So why do some women get sick and some not? It very often happens that a woman is fine and then she goes through a trauma or an illness. And that catalyzes this like cascade effect in her body. So maybe she has a car accident or she gets divorced or she loses someone. I had two of those. I went through a divorce and I lost someone. And then after that, her body just can't cope anymore. And once your body goes into that autoimmune reaction, because that's really what it is, your body's having an autoimmune response to the foreign object in your body, then it's just downhill from there. Mm. And you can't fix it unless you take them out.
And how quickly was the transformation for you? So you had them out, and there's a few pieces here. One is, I'm curious to hear, because there's the very real fear around, am I going to be as beautiful? What's going to happen to my breasts? What's going to happen to my body? Like having to navigate that shift in how you see yourself as a woman. And then the other piece is obviously the actual symptoms of being unwell. And I'm curious to know how those two things transformed for you and how you've brought them forward. And yeah, you can answer whichever feels more appropriate first, and I'm happy to remind you if it's too many questions at once.
When I first had this realization and I made the decision to take the implants out, I was very worried about how are my breasts going to look. And I was on the Facebook groups for breast implant illness, and I was looking for photos, and I was like, I want to see photos of how women's boobs look afterwards. But what happened in those couple of months between me making the decision and then actually going for surgery was, well, first of all, I got even more sick. Like, I was deteriorating so quickly at that stage. Almost by the day, I was getting worse and worse and worse. And also, I had time to just sort of like wrap my head around what I was about to do. So that by the time I got to surgery, I really no longer cared at all. I was like, I don't care what they look like. I just want to be healthy. And if that means I have scars, fine. If that means I have droopy boobs, fine. If they're teeny tiny, so what? I literally don't give a fuck. I just want to be healthy. I want to be able to enjoy my life again. I want to be able to play with my son. I mean, that was one of the most painful things for me, was knowing how being sick was affecting my child. So I didn't care anymore by the time I got to the surgery. And, you know, maybe if I say I just don't care, it sounds flippant, but I think what I really came around to was that I love my body so much. I'm so grateful to my beautiful body for being my home, for me to experience life and to have beautiful experiences. Doesn't matter what my boobs look like. Like, can I love myself? Can I love my boobs as they are? And the most beautiful thing for me is that I now do. Like, I have really bad scarring. I don't scar well. And it doesn't even bother me. I don't care. Okay, granted, I'm not single. Maybe if I was single, I would feel differently. I have an amazing fiance and it doesn't bother him at all. So obviously that helps me. Maybe if I was single, I would be a little bit more self-conscious about it. But honestly, I think maybe even not, because I wouldn't want to be with a man who is bothered by this. You know, this is part of my life story. It's an experience that I've gone through. And every time I see my scars in the mirror, it reminds me that I'm well again. I look at it and I go, oh, thank God. Thank God I realized. Thank God I listened to my body and my intuition and I took them out. And I think that's really important as well, because it's so easy with something like this to really beat yourself up. And I went through that stage where I was so angry with myself, so disappointed in myself for what I'd done. I made a decision that stole 4 years out of my life. I've come to the place where I just accept that that was something I needed to do. It was a contract that I made, that my soul decided we're going to go through this experience. And it's part of my journey and it's part of who I am now and what I've learned through the experience. So now I love my boobs with these scars, because I don't see them as just a function of external beauty anymore. That, like, they're an organ. That, and that's something that when I first went through all of this and I was realizing what I'd done to myself, because obviously I got the breast implants before my spiritual journey started. I've been through a huge, very deep journey since then. And when I had the realization that on the very physical level, having put implants into my body, I damaged my health and I did something bad for my physical body. But even more than that, on an energetic level, I was like, what was I thinking? How could I think that cutting into my breasts, like such a sacred organ that makes me a woman, I cut into them, I put something artificial into them and then sewed them back up again and thought, that's great. And just like the energetic implications of how we as women denigrate the sanctity of our female body. And so what happened when I had this realization about my breasts is that I then also realized, oh my God, I have an IUD. I've inserted a foreign object into my womb, my most sacred space, my seat of power as a woman. I've gone and put a foreign object into it. So I removed my IUD as well shortly before I had the surgery. And interestingly, I believe that that was contributing to some of my symptoms as well. And women do get symptoms from IUDs as well. So it's not just the implants. I think that's also important to say. It's not just breast implants. It's any foreign object that you put into your body, it's going to have consequences.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Eh? I mean, this is, and I guess at some level, it's almost impossible not to compromise to a certain extent in our modern society. Like the fact that I get into a car and drive down the road into town, you know, I'm breathing in fumes. The fact that like every material around me just about has some kind of plastic in it, some kind of thing that's offloading, some kind of chemical. So there's a point of where it gets too much, but there is also the opportunity to really refine and make conscious decisions. So for example, I stopped washing my hair some years ago. And I don't mean washing as in keeping it clean. My hair is very clean. It feels lovely. It smells lovely. But I just don't put shampoo into it because I realized it was completely unnecessary and was actually hurting my body. It was taking my body's natural capacity to form healthy oils. And I was stripping my hair every time I wash my hair. And the same with body products, with toothpaste, with like so many things that people just consider normal. Even the shoes that we wear, you know, the shoes that are crushing people's feet and squashing them into these little shapes so that almost every human now has deformed feet. I mean, we could go in so many directions on this, but then we do have control. It's like once we start to wake up, like as in your case where you go, right, these breast implants are hurting me. I'm taking them the fuck out. I've got an IUD. That also feels wrong for where I am now on my journey. I'm taking that out. Like making those conscious decisions, even though probably meant that, or it sounds like it meant that you had to initially get more uncomfortable to face those parts. Like, am I going to be beautiful? What is this going to mean about me as a woman? How, you know, my body, what about my partner? What about all these, how are people going to see me? All these stories. But like you're saying, you've come through that. And on the other side, you love yourself more than ever and your body's aligned with you more than ever.
Yeah. And even coming to terms with the fact that, because when I got my implants, I didn't tell people about it. Obviously, like my close friends and family knew, but it wasn't something that I went around telling people. And people didn't really notice because I'd had big boobs before. So it wasn't like I'd had small boobs my whole life and then all of a sudden I had big boobs. So it wasn't something that I publicly shared with people. And even coming to terms with the fact that like, oh my God, now I have to go through this huge surgery. And that means I have to tell people I had breast implants in the first place. And then I got sick from them and now I'm taking them out. But I made the decision very early on that I would speak publicly about it because women need to know, like women need to know this. It is such a travesty that this is still happening when women already started speaking up about this 40 years ago. 40 wow. years ago, women were noticing that they were getting sick after getting implants and it's been suppressed for all this time. And to think of how many lives have been completely ruined by it. There are so many women that get diagnoses of autoimmune conditions or like some weird thing you've never heard of before. Or they get told, like you mentioned earlier, they get told, no, don't worry. It's just aging. You're just getting old. You're in perimenopause. This is normal. So many women get told by doctors that their symptoms are normal and that they just need to live with it. And then they remove their implants and they recover completely. They become well and healthy and happy. How are we telling women that it's normal to be sick when there's such an easy, obvious solution?
And so in your case, did you find that there was like an immediate turnaround? I mean, obviously you came out of a big operation. So there was the recovery period, but I'd just be curious to hear that final piece of like post-op, post-removal, what happened in your life?
I did do a lot of research before I went for my surgery, and I was very prepared for the fact that it might take me a long time to recover. Most women, after their explant, it takes them at least a year, even longer, maybe 2 years to recover. And some women don't recover after their surgery. Like, just to be honest, it can happen. And my personal belief is that in those cases, it's because you've like flipped that switch in your body to go into autoimmune response. And so it really takes time to bring your body back into balance, back to health. So I was prepared for the fact that it might take me a long time to recover. I didn't mind. I didn't care. I was just excited to like get started on the journey. What happened for me was that I came out of surgery and I'm even getting emotional just thinking about it. They rolled me out of surgery. And as I started coming to, I just felt this incredible sense of relief. And not just an emotional and mental relief of like, oh, thank God they're out. My body felt relieved. Like I could literally feel my body. Like I was able to breathe properly again. And that was one of the symptoms I had. My breath became more shallow. And I just felt this incredible sense of relief that I just started crying and crying, crying. And the surgeon came over to me to check on me and to tell me how the surgery went. And I was just holding her hand and telling her, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like that's how incredibly relieved I felt in my body. And then after the surgery, it is quite a big surgery. Some women go through it very easily. For me, it was a little bit more difficult. I had a lot of pain afterwards, and my recovery was a little bit rough. So even though I was sort of in bed for a solid 3 weeks, I was in bed. I couldn't really move much. And it was really like a good 6 weeks for me to start feeling recovered from surgery. But this is what's so interesting, is that even though I was in a lot of pain, and even though my body was recovering from such a big surgery and the anesthetic and the antibiotics and all of that, I immediately felt better. There was one thing that happened, which was really fascinating. I had this rash under my eye. I'd had it for a couple of months. It wasn't very big. It was a small little red rash, and it just wasn't going away. And I tried a few different things. I'd gotten medicine for it. Nothing was taking it away. And after the surgery, literally within about 4 hours of the implants coming out of my body, the rash started going away. And the next day it was gone. So that's like a very obvious example of how quickly the symptoms started resolving themselves. But what happened was, in the weeks after surgery, one by one, the symptoms just started dropping away. I could immediately feel a difference in my energy levels. Even though I was recovering from surgery and I was in bed, there was a difference. Because for anybody who hasn't experienced chronic fatigue, maybe you think fatigue just means tired. It's not the same as being tired. It's a different feeling. And that feeling went away quite quickly. Another symptom that I had was really bad back pain. That went away within, I think, the first 2 weeks. So just one by one, the symptoms started going away. Once I'd recovered from surgery and I was like able to get up and be about again after about 6 weeks, there were still some symptoms that I had, but over, I would say it took about 3 or 4 months, one by one, the symptoms dropped away. And about 4 months out, I felt completely recovered and I felt like myself again.
Well, well done for following the signs, you know, because like, as you said, not everybody does that. So for anyone who is considering these kinds of cosmetic procedures, like, what is there a message that you'd want them to hear from you in this moment?
You really have to think about what's most important to you in your life. Is it important to look a specific way, or is it important to you to enjoy your life and to be healthy and happy and be able to be present with your children, your partner, your friends, whatever it is? Because that's really what you're choosing between when you put a foreign object in your body. And you may well be one of the lucky people who gets implants and doesn't get sick. Some people get implants and they get sick immediately. Some people get sick after having a triggering event like I did. And some people only get sick many years later. It sort of like just slowly creeps up on them. And there's so many people that say, but I have implants and I'm not sick. And then 5 minutes later, they're telling me about their anxiety, or they're telling me about their insomnia, or they're telling me about their autoimmune condition. Like, it's interesting how this conversation triggers people to the point that they'll say, oh, but I have implants and I'm not sick. But they have X, Y, and Z wrong with them. They're not in full health. They're just not seeing yet that they're sick. You know, this question of like, why do some people get sick and why do some not? I'm kind of at the point where I think that at some point everybody does get sick. It's just a question of, will you recognize the cause of it, or will you attribute it to something else? Yeah, I just think that the way that it's become so normal in society is a huge problem, because it means that it's a decision that's made very flippantly without actually thinking through. And a surgeon will never sit you down and say, you might get breast implant illness if you go ahead with a surgery. They won't tell you. I mean, I never knew that this was a thing. Just go do some research and read stories of people who have been through this and ask yourself if you're willing to take that risk that you might end up with a debilitating condition, which means that you can't work, you can't live your life, you can't enjoy yourself, you're in constant pain. And then ask yourself if it's worth changing a certain part of your body, which maybe you should rather work on accepting and learning how to love yourself exactly the way that you are.
Thank you, Rain. I appreciate your courage and willingness to share this story, which is it's vulnerable. There's no, you know, it's a very intimate part of your body and your life and yourself. So thank you for being willing to share. And if someone's wanting to find you and reach out and learn more about you, because this is only a tiny part of your journey, and I know we don't have the time to cover everything today, but you know, as you've said, you have an active spiritual life. You're a trainer with Pilates. I mean, you share from the heart. And so where would you suggest people find you? What are any projects you'd want people to know about leaving this conversation?
So you can find me on Instagram is probably the best place, at rain.dunn. That's R-A-I-N-E. I'm working on a couple of different things at the moment, as I always am. I'm pretty diverse in what I offer. Check me out on Instagram and see what's up there.
Great. Thank you. And then as always, the question that I ask every guest, when you hear the words, we are already free, what comes up for you?
I think those words are just such a beautiful reminder that all the answers and everything that we need already reside within us. And that our life experiences are like our curriculum that reveal this to us slowly over time if we are open to learning it. And I think that ties in beautifully to what we've spoken about today, because when we make the decision to get plastic surgery or have Botox or fillers or whatever it is, we're looking for something outside of ourselves to fulfill us and to make us feel a certain way, when really everything that we need is inside.
There's a final question that came up for me just that I want to check in about before we say goodbye, which is about men, because obviously I'm a man, and in a way, there's a part of me that's like, it's a bit strange for me to be having these kind of conversations with a woman on my podcast, but I also, it's stuff that I deeply care about. So for whatever reason, I've always, you know, like when I heard there was a documentary being shown in London many years ago about, it was called The Moon Inside You by a lovely woman. I think her name was Diana. Anyway, it was all about her moon time, all about her period. And I was just so interested because for me, it is interesting. I want to know, as a man, these things I don't get access to. And then I also want to know, how am I a part of this? Like, how am I involved in this thing that's happening? And there's a book called The Beauty Myth. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy read, but it really blew my mind about the standards that women are held to that men aren't, although they are becoming more and more, because that book was written a while ago. And so the question I want, because I also would like this to be of use to men, because there is a lot of the time we focus on the sort of, I was going to use the word victim, but the reason for that is I was thinking about sexual abuse and how almost every woman in our world today has been sexually abused in some way. We focus on that, but that what we forget to focus on is, well, it was men who abused them almost 100% of the time. So why aren't we talking more to the men? So what I'd like to ask from you as a woman, what is it that you would like men to know? About how they are complicit in creating a society where women feel that they need to do these kinds of things, have breast implants and fillers and Botox, et cetera. And what would you like to say to men about this? I mean, whatever comes up.
Well, firstly, I just want to say how beautiful it is that you are interested in learning things like that. And the fact that you went to go watch a documentary like that. I love that so much. That's beautiful. Like, if more men were like that, I think we would have way less of these problems, because even though it doesn't apply to you in your own body, when you understand that better, you understand your partner better. And if you have a daughter one day, how much more beautifully are you going to be able to support her as her father if you understand all of these things? So thank you for being one of those men. And with regards to what men can do to assist, I do believe that in a really big way, women like to blame men that they are held up to these standards. But I really do believe that a lot of the time we're doing this to ourselves. And I think it's important that women recognize that. We're doing this to ourselves and to each other. Women hold each other up to such a high standard, and there's a lot of competition between them. And I think that that's a huge contributing factor. Having said that, of course, men contribute as well. I think that what a lot of women would find encouraging is if they actually asked men, they would realize that a lot of men don't like fake boobs. They don't like the big eyelashes and the big lips and all of those things. They want a natural looking woman. And then, of course, there are men that encourage it. They like the big fake boobs. Like, you know, everything's a generalization. So there are both sides to it. But if more men can do exactly what you were just saying that you do, like just be interested in understanding what it's like to be a woman in today's society and what we experience, how different our bodies are from yours, and how that really shapes who we are, because we live with our cycle and with our our femininity on a daily basis. It's part of who we are as humans. Like, you know, it's inseparable from us. And if more men made an effort to understand, I think that would make a big difference. And also, if you are a man who gets this and you don't like all the fake stuff, tell your woman, tell all the women in your life, not just your lover, but your sister, your friends, tell them that they're beautiful exactly the way they are. Tell them that you don't like the fake stuff, because I think a lot of women don't get it. They think that if they do all these things, they'll be more attractive to men, and oftentimes even the case. And most importantly, for men to focus on the inner beauty of a woman. Don't make it all about what's on the outside and how they look. Like, really foster her self-confidence in who she is and the fact that she's beautiful because she has a beautiful soul, not because of what her face looks like or her boobs look like.
Thank you so much.
Is that helpful as a man to hear that?
It is helpful as a man. I mean, you're preaching to the choir, but I want you to, you know,
I know.
Asked you to it's important. I had to go through this myself, where I realized many years ago that I had basically a fantasy. I had a very well-constructed image of a beautiful woman in my head, and she looked a very specific way. And anytime I would meet women who didn't match that, which is pretty much impossible for anyone to, and actually, as soon as we go beyond the surface, no one can match that, because that is an illusion. It's a fantasy. And I spent a sincere amount of energy and time dissolving that fantasy. And what it allowed me to experience instead was now going on 8 years of partnership with Carly, because what I love in her is what's real, not what the fantasy. I'm not seeking for some fantastical version of her that is impossible for anyone to ever reach. And so I get to really just enjoy Carly, this beautiful being who is gorgeous. Like, and I'm not saying it's not about, I think there's a potential for mistake in there of going, oh, well, then he's like settled. So I was like, no, bro. The reality is, when I dissolve that image or something else of the grass being greener somewhere else, especially in my mind, then I got to actually witness Carly. And when I really witness Carly, it's like overwhelmingly awe-inspiring how beautiful she is. And in a way, and attractive and sexy and sensual and all these wonderful, real, sincere things. So to me,
yes.
it's been a fucking liberation to let go of that. And so, yeah, I resonate, and I appreciate you asking for that more. And what you've given me especially is to actually say that more, to not just to Carly, but to the women, to the people who follow me online and to the people listening to this podcast, of like, and just to really own that beauty. We have to reclaim beauty, because it's been stolen and then resold to us in plastic packaging.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you just summed it up so well. And I just love the way you spoke about her. And, you know, that fantasy that you had is through no fault of your own. And it's actually so beautiful to hear that even a man like you, who I consider to be so conscious and awake, you started off in your younger years with that fantasy. And it's just a symptom of our society. The problem is, when you have that fantasy, you can never make that real deep connection. And what I've noticed in myself as I've been through my spiritual journey these last years, and it's something that I'm so grateful for, like sometimes so grateful that it can bring me to tears, is how I see the beauty in people. And the more I get to know a person internally, who they are, the more when I look at them, they look beautiful to me. The way that they look hasn't changed, but what has changed is the way that I perceive them. And also, the more I love myself, the more beauty I see in other people.
That's a beautiful note to end on. And thank you again, Rain. I hope that anyone listening has found value here, and that this can, as you say, even if one person in the world, because of this, goes, you know what, I'm taking these things out, or I'm not putting them in, or I'm reclaiming my natural beauty, I'm going to stop the injections, whatever it is, like to take a step in the direction, because the real power, the real freedom, the real revolution is to become ungovernable in that way, to become so deeply knowing of our intrinsic beauty that no matter how many fucking billboards we are hammered with, or how many ads, or how many perfect looking, apparently, people on Instagram who've airbrushed the shit out of themselves. Like, no matter how much of that happens, there's still, we look into ourselves and we know I am beautiful and I am loved for that beauty because it is intrinsic. So thank you for being a part of helping to spread that message, Rain. I really appreciate it. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Nathan. I really appreciate you putting the word out about this. It's an important topic.
Such a pleasure. And we need to get you on again another time to talk more about all the other things that you are so skilled at and knowledgeable about.
Yeah, cool. With pleasure. I would love that. It's always such a pleasure to chat to you.
Awesome. You too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today, dear listener. It's been a pleasure to share this conversation with you. Today, we've gone deep into the profound impact of society's beauty standards and the personal price of aligning with these often unrealistic expectations. We discussed the importance of listening to our bodies and embracing a lifestyle that really prioritizes wellness and authenticity over superficial aesthetics. As you reflect on today's conversation, I encourage you to think about how you can apply these lessons in your own life. Are there areas where you might be compromising your health for the sake of appearance? How can you make more aligned choices that celebrate your genuine self? One of the things that Rain used to heal herself on this journey was something called the Healy device. You may have heard me speak about this with Freya Kellett. That was a good few episodes ago. Rain mentioned afterwards that the Healy was massively helpful in her healing after her explant surgery. And she didn't mention it because she's like, I didn't want to sound salesy because she has one. And then if she sells it to other people, then she gets affiliate marketing, etc. And I was like, no, if it's something you use and love and it's working for you, that's great. And so I just wanted to make space for that. And I will have links that you can use to find out more about the Healy. It's an energetics device. Rain uses it all the time and she highly recommends it. So there'll be a link in the show notes where you can check out further about that and a bit more info on there. So I just wanted to let you know. And yeah, thanks again for listening. If today's episode with Rain Dunn resonated with you, then you are already on the path to deeper self-awareness and authenticity. Why not take the next step in your personal development journey with my 5-day morning practice challenge? This is a free challenge designed to transform your mornings from snooze button madness to presence and alignment, setting a tone of self-love and mindfulness for the rest of your day. Each day you'll engage in simple practices that not only enhance your physical energy, but also align with the kind of personal growth we've been discussing today. Here's what previous challenge taker Adrian had to say about it. Waking up every morning in a frustrated fog, I felt hopeless. The morning practice challenge helped me switch from self-judging to self-love. I feel much more confident, safe, and peaceful. Nathan keeps it simple, accessible, and very supportive. It was totally worth it. Imagine starting your day with that kind of positive change. This is your invitation to step into a routine that nurtures your body and soul. Join us by signing up at alreadyfree.me/yes or check the show notes. Embrace this opportunity to nurture your authenticity in just a few minutes each morning. Transform your day, transform your life. Thank you again for your time and for being part of this community. Remember that true beauty and wellness start from within, and as always, we are already free.